This is the standard. I actually have a very strong financial relationship with all of this. I don't see how it could be more financial, but it's not commercial. Okay, I mean, this is what we do, you know, at NCHS. So, but I would love to see much more commercial involvement in this, and I think there really is a very strong role for this. Just a word to thank Rick for his leadership in this area, his tremendous enthusiasm for it, and Rick, it may be the time has come. It's possible. We're all talking about the increased interest in data at the community, at the local level, and considering you don't have enough chairs in this room, that must be some sort of proof.
We do have seats available up front, and I encourage you to come up front and fill in the
three
chairs, please.
One, two, three. Okay.
I see some more here.
If you sit in the right place, if you reach underneath, you'll see the prize that you get. Okay. So I want to talk about harmonizing surveys and data. But that, I hope I won't disappoint people who, in which I don't focus completely on harmonization. For one thing, I'm not sure that I can actually define harmonization, okay? And I'll give you an example of that. Something has, since we prepared this session, there's been a tremendous amount of interest in health indicators. Now, you might all say, well, surveys, that's indicators. No, it's not. I mean, indicators are sort of prepackaged, the way I view indicators, they're prepackaged analyses that come from, might be surveys, but it might be from other sources as well. Okay? And I think, and I'm going to talk about this, and I'm going to talk about something called the Community Health Data Initiative, which if you haven't heard of this, I think you're going to hear a great deal more about this. Well, there are lots of factors and influences that are driving health data. Clearly, research and policy, and as you pointed out, Rick, at the beginning, there's the new legislation, which I think you call the most authoritative.
I did.
It depends on how you define the word authoritative, I think, but it clearly says that it really is on the center stage. We have, as you've just heard, a wide variety of surveys from the federal statistical agencies, which do operate in large part independently from those who are actually intervening. And then, of course, there's the Vital Statistics. Charlie Rothwell, who from our agency, who heads the Vital Statistics, is here, and these are crucial. The vital statistics are absolutely crucial. They provide, as I see it really, the framework for the information that we have, the fundamentals that we have at the local level, but it's by no means sufficient. Now, Rick also mentioned the report, the Vision for Health Statistics for the 21st Century. At the core of what we do is the information that's in the yellow box here, whatever color, gold box here. And but in order for us to really understand it, and I really feel very strongly about this, in order for communities to understand about disease and functioning and well-being and the level of it and the distribution, that's terrific. But you know, you don't learn that much from that. You don't learn that much from knowing that one place has more smoking than another place. What you really want to know is what's going to happen in the next period, the next year, the next month, 5 years from now, and what's driving it. And it's all this other stuff, technical term, that's on this diagram that influences that. And this is an area where we really need to put a good deal more emphasis into it, resources into it, to understand the dynamics. You know, and some people would say, well, these are the determinants of health. Well, that's a broad term. But we need that information. We need to be able to understand it at the community and the local level. So I would add to this list these other influences that are driving this. I better get off my watch, take my watch out, because I know I'm going to go too high now. But IT is a major factor here, okay? Evidence-based medicine. The value of community-based research, there's the New Yorker, the technical journal, you all know the technical journal New Yorker. Tremendous impact from Atul Gawande's article. Of course, that's based on, of course, the Dartmouth research that has been going on for 30 years, more than 30 years. My question to you, we can answer, we'll talk about later, why hasn't that had more impact? It's absolutely clear. Peter Orszag spoke at our conference, our national conference, 2 years ago, and talked about that. And you all know who Peter Orszag is, former head of OMB, and just gave the strongest set of arguments as to why we need to look at local and community data, health practice, and understand whether or not these differences are meaningful in any way. And then, of course, there's indicators, and I'm going to say something about open government. Now, here's a harmonization issue that Steve Cohen thinks about all the time from ARC, and from they collect data in MEPS. We collect this data in HIS somewhat differently, and CPS collects it. Well, if you look at HIS and CPS, the data are different. The numbers are different. But why are they different? Well, we actually understand pretty much why they're different. Okay. Now, are the data harmonized? Well, it depends on your definition of harmony, okay? I was very concerned about this, frankly. We're not being recorded, I know. But before a couple of years ago when this issue of the uninsured was very, very in front of everybody, what the numbers were and so forth, I was very concerned about this because it was quite clear that at the federal level, we had four different estimates. They weren't the same, okay? And who was going to seize on this? Well, do you know that I don't think there was one editorial that really seized on it. There might have been one that talked about the differences, and okay, there are differences. But it was fascinating to me that, in fact, the four estimates, and these are two of them, lived in harmony, okay? And you don't need things to be done exactly the same in order to be able to have harmony, but you do need to understand what the differences are actually due to. So in a sense, I think these are harmonized. But it's a much more difficult situation, I think, when we talk about drilling down from, say, the national to the local or the community level, or as Charlie Rothwell said to me a few minutes ago, percolating up, okay? However you want to view it, there it is really important that we understand these differences, particularly as states draw from communities and develop their state estimates. You really got to understand what these differences are due to, and you've got to try to make them as harmonious as possible. And I don't know enough about music to make the right analogy, but you can have things that are really quite dissonant and still comes out sounding terrific. Okay, Shostakovich, whatever. All right, just add a little, culture to this meeting. Anyway, so one of the things that I think is going to drive us toward harmony is this community health data initiative. And I'll come back to that in a second. The aims, I think, to summarize it at the community level, I don't know if you can read it in the back, but our dissemination. All of us have mentioned dissemination. We've got to have more effective dissemination. The harmonization to improve the data quality, but not necessarily to make everything the same. This is a base for population research at the community level. And we want to improve the decision-making at the community level. So again, I say, and I'm being a little extreme in this, but I don't really care whether this group is smoking more than this group. The issue is, what are we going to do about it? What information do we need to know, okay? And how precise do these estimates need to be? You know, and bell-shaped thinking, you know, is not the way to go here. You know, we can have much greater uncertainty and still have estimates that are really useful in community decision making, but we've got to know what those alternatives are. So about, I don't know if Linda Billheimer is here, but she's not here. Okay. Linda Billheimer heads one of the divisions in our area about a year plus ago, as I recall, our budget discussions. The idea came up that there's this tremendous number of indicator sets. Not indicators, but indicator sets. Healthy people is one. We've got to find a better way to disseminate that data. We're responsible for holding and the quality of the healthy people data. And so we decided that we would create something that we called a data warehouse. Okay? And the idea behind it was to take these sets of indicators, I'll give you a couple examples in a second, and add a few fundamental abilities to it. And I call this the Costco, because this doesn't have a lot of bells and whistles to it, but it would have a few. Okay? But the main thing is to be able to disseminate these in a very user-friendly sort of way. It would also have links to evidence-based interventions, which is really a plus. And it would include these initial sets of indicators that are here. It would also have something that I didn't know the meaning of a year ago called web service, which means that commercial interests would be able to link into it and pull the data out. So it has to have a degree of standardization in the way we're holding all of that data. Okay. Now, at about the same time we were doing this, the administration started talking about open government and putting a lot of emphasis on this. In particular, it said, and what I've highlighted here, is that openness will strengthen our democracy and promote efficiency and effectiveness in government. And that's from the president, and this is from, I guess, the OMB website. They got tremendously interested in, as the Secretary of Health and Human Services said, and I quote, freeing the data. I took offense at this, of course, because I never thought we were keeping it, you know, under wraps. But it was very interesting. I said, you know, you learn something from that. That if she thinks we're holding it back, okay. And I have 3 minutes to go through this really quickly. If she thinks we're holding it back, then it says we have to do an even better job of getting that data out. About the same time, based on this open government, the administration created data.gov, which is supposed to have a link to all the government data sets. And it has taken off like a shot. If you haven't looked at it, you really should. The data's not there. It's the links to the data and to indicator sets and to tools. HHS.gov is the site, sort of an offshoot of it on the Health and Human Services site. The kind of data that we will have in this indicator warehouse, which should open in December, is the county health rankings, the community health status indicators, which NCHS had something to do with, but really I give credit to HRSA for really, and our colleagues at CDC as well, for really sort of championing this. And this includes things like peer counties, which BRFIS has also taken up as well, very important. So the Community Health Data Initiative. Now, on top of all of this, the administration has created a flagship initiative, as it calls it, to increase the community understanding of data and to spark and facilitate action at the community level. It's going to create a network, and has already started to do this, a network of suppliers, of applications, and by applications, everybody hold up your iPhone. I mean those kinds of applications, or on your PC or whatever, but those kinds of applications. And the diagram that's used to show this is there are four groups here. One is the data sources, that's the green. There's the innovators who get ideas about how this data can really be used. So take what you just heard from Smart BRFSS and couple that into what are we going to do with it? It's terrific to have it, but what are we going to do with it? Who needs to have that information? Well, maybe we can couple it to the schools. Maybe we can couple it to the real estate people who can then sell that area of the county based on how healthy the people are in that area. Any number of things. Then the applications people who are the techie people, and then the end users, okay? And then this all feeds back into the data to improve the data, okay? Okay. And there was a meeting on March 11th that brought together these applications people like Google and Microsoft and other companies that never heard of, okay, and we've heard of those, but there are a variety of tech firms that I've never heard of, and they themselves said, we're going to create a challenge here to develop within 90 days, a set of applications built on the existing set of data. And we put up a sort of a, not mock, but a preliminary warehouse. They took the data and produced, in the jargon of the day, a set of really cool applications. That's what they used to describe these. Really cool. And there's been another initiative since then, and where a set of applications were unveiled in San Francisco just about a month and a half ago. The coolest one, I thought, from the initial meeting was this thing in Sonoma County. It's a dashboard. That's all it is a dashboard. But it's a big dashboard. And it represents the data, takes the data and represents it in a really, really nice way, with a lot of information. And the very important thing about this application is it has three partners, and I won't get them exactly right, so if any partners are here, forgive me. One is an offshoot of Berkeley, from the School of Public Health in Berkeley. Second is the community, is the government, the Sonoma County government. And the third is a tech firm that put it all together. And that, I think, is crucial. You've got to have that kind of partnership with people who really understand what this data mean, okay, with people who can make it attractive, who can make it really usable. These are the indicators. Whether it's really usable, we'll have to see. Okay, we'll have to see what goes on. And actually, this offshoot of Berkeley has a tremendous number of such applications they put in other places around the country. So I'm going to finish back with that vision of health statistics. We, in that report, had five recommendations, one having to do with coordination, and I think that, to me, is relates to harmonization. We will have a set of standards that we will develop as part of our indicator warehouse, and our board of scientific counselors will play a key role in that. And the challenges in all of this, I think, come down to how to use the data, how to really use the data for improved decision making. It's one thing to put it out, but how do we actually use it? And I think this is the place where the schools of public health, the medical schools, the business schools, particularly at the local level, the junior colleges, and local government can play a major role. It's a very exciting time as we head toward whatever it says at the bottom there, harmonization. Thank you.